Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Saturday, March 6th, 2021. Section A. Cameron recognized for Transforming Learning by Ruth Campbell. For its work, Transforming Learning and Thinking Outside the Box, Cameron Dual Language Elementary received recognition as one of the 2020 School's Transforming Learning Award winners presented by N2 Learning Group. Cameron Elementary was one of seven Texas public schools to earn the distinction for making strides on their journeys to provide innovative learning opportunities for all students. The award was to be presented at the Principals Institute last summer, but the conference was held virtually due to COVID-19 restrictions. Principal Jacob Vargas said N2 Learning works with schools across the state in San Antonio, Austin, Dallas, and College Station. People who received the award were from all levels. The applications are on the website, and you can see examples of ideas to bring it to your campus to improve it. There are different aspects in which you can be involved in change. Cameron focused on student culture. We have our house teams that every student and teacher is a member of, and teachers earn points for their house. It creates a different atmosphere, a sense of belonging to a team, and really tries to build good behavior, good academic success, all of those kinds of things, Vargas said. Before the pandemic, we were one of the few schools that was one-to-one technology, so we have invested a lot of funds into our technology to get students one-to-one on our campus. We also have invested into smart interactive flat panels, so we were ahead of the game, light years over a lot of campuses in the state of Texas with our technology here at the school. That was another aspect of what our application consisted of. Another thing was our dual language program, our French program, our collaboration that our teachers and students have to have and do on a consistent basis, he added. The campus has 600 pre-K through 6th grade students and has had full day pre-K for a while. Our dual language program is a 50-50 model, so our students learn one day in English and one day in Spanish in the lower grades. And in the upper grades, it's a week-to-week thing where students learn one full week in English and one full week in Spanish. Those are in all academic areas. So that was reading, math, science, writing. Everything's done in both languages. This is really to get students to build their academic vocabulary, build their comfortability with a second language, whether they're learning Spanish or they're learning English, Vargas said. Students have two teachers, their English teacher and their Spanish teacher. Each teacher stays in their language of instruction, Vargas added. It's a lot of organization of who's transitioning where, who's going to what class. The kids get really good at it, probably a couple weeks in. Once they find out what the routine is, they're good, he said. Part of the dual language program is professional development, trying to make sure our teachers are well-versed on how to teach students to learn a second language. With ECISD's recent School of Choice lottery, Vargas said their enrollment numbers could increase. We're the best-kept secret in Odessa. That's what I tell people, Vargas said. Executive Director of Leadership Robert Cedillo said the campus has a great group of teachers who truly embrace teaching and learning. Mr. Vargas has been there for 7 years now. He places value on relationships and trust with teachers, staff, students, parents, and the community. He and his staff are able to really think outside the box, but work within the parameters, and that's why the school was awarded the school's Transforming Learning Award from N2 Learning, Sadio said in an email. The goal is for students to be able to speak English and Spanish fluently by the time they leave elementary school. They may also learn some conversational French while they're at it. With Cameron going through sixth grade, students can transition to middle school with a foreign language. Barga said students can take foreign language starting in seventh grade. That's why we wanted to go up to sixth grade so that they could transition easily and go from sixth grade, still continuing to learn Spanish and French, and then go right into taking their classes in junior high, Barga said. He added that it takes a lot of discipline. We've been lucky. Our school is a very successful school because the kids are challenged. They have to pay attention in class. They have to be able to put in a lot more effort because they're learning something in two languages. We cover all the academic content that every school does, but with a layer of language on top of that. So it is challenging for teachers, parents, and students, but the challenge is worth it, Vargas said. Nominations for the honor were open to campuses led by any of the more than 450 Principals Institute participants or alumni who represent more than 80 Texas public school districts. PI is a statewide professional learning series designed to challenge thinking and help campus leaders develop and sustain transformative learning environments, a news release said. The panelists will include CEO of Odessa Regional Medical Center, Stacy Brown, Texas Tech Health Sciences Center Regional Dean of Nursing, Dr. Sharon B. Cannon, President of Eoffical Enterprises Incorporated, Sandra Eoff, Ector County Judge Debbie Hayes, ECISD Deputy Superintendent Stephanie Howard, Vice President for Student Services at Odessa College, Kim McKay, Executive Director of Odessa Link Incorporated, Erica Thomas, Chief Nursing Officer at Medical Center Health System, Kristen Timmons, Odessa City Councilperson, District 5, Mary Willis, and UTPB President, Sandra Woodley. Earls said the task of narrowing the number of panelists to 10 was not easy. We came up with so many names, Earls said. We couldn't have had a panel of 30, but we knew that we had to tally it down. Even 10 is really stretching it. We just looked at all the different businesses and organizations. We tried to cover government, education, business. We wanted to make sure we covered healthcare and someone from the nonprofit sector. We tried to hit some criteria points that we felt were important to be diverse and show who is being represented on the panel. Earl said this is the first virtual panel that the Odessa Chamber of Commerce has done for International Women's Day. When we saw that International Women's Day was coming up and the situation that we're in virtually, it was something that we could easily put together, she said. Earls had something to say about each of the 10 women and adding that each of them has a good story to tell. These women are professionals, Earls said. They are moms. They are spouses. Not only do they have their jobs all day long, but they work in nonprofit organizations as volunteers. They're busy, but yet I believe they have so much to offer our listeners and viewers as to how they live their daily lives. For EOF, being a part of Monday's panel means a lot. It's truly an honor, and I'm super excited and looking forward to sharing details of my business over the past, EOF said. Sandra and her husband, Toby, both own the Odessa Marriott Hotel and Conference Center. Fortunately, I have a supportive husband who's helped me with business along the way, and we've done everything together, Sandra said. Howard was also honored to be invited to Monday's panel. First of all, it was such a surprise when Renee emailed me, inviting me to participate, Howard said. Then when I saw the lineup of the other participants, you feel so humble. There are such great leaders on that panel. Just to be chosen and asked to be a part of that is an honor. Prior to returning to ECISD, Howard was the superintendent at Plains ISD and was also the high school principal at Midland Lee High School for 6 years before moving into district administration. As far as challenges, I find it interesting because once you pass the challenge, you kind of forget that it was a challenging time, Howard said. You just work through it and lead through it. She's never forgotten the help from her mentors over the years who have helped her throughout her career. I wasn't originally going to go into education, Howard said. My dad and family were all in education, so coming out of high school, you're determined to do something different. But then in college, I found that I had some professors who really inspired me, and I ended up moving to education. The event is $10 for Chamber of Commerce members and $15 for non-members. It's open to anyone, Earl said. Obviously, Chamber members get a discount, but it's not just women. We feel like there are many men out there who could listen to this and work alongside these professionals and leaders. It's open to anyone and not just limited to Odessa. That's the beauty of virtual. To register for the online event, go to tinyurl.com/28fepk2f. Sweet chance for spring break. Susie's plans first spring break event by Michael Bauer. Midland. For 30 years, Susie's South 40 has been a staple in the Permian Basin, bringing in tourists to witness how the factory's award-winning candy and confections are made, and treating themselves to samples. Next week, the factory, located at 401 South Marienfeld, will put together a first-of-its-kind event with its spring break kickoff. The event will last all week, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., Monday to Friday, as the company gears up for summer to have a few fun things going on during that stretch. That includes self-guided tours in the factory's viewing aisle, where customers can watch the cooks make the company's signature toffee and chocolates. Tourists can also experience Susie's South 40 ice cream bar and shop, and the gift shop. Owner Susie Hitchcock Hall has won numerous awards and honors over the years. The candy factory is always a great place for people to go because there are samples and they can watch all the candy being made, Hitchcock Hall said. We also have an ice cream stand set up, which is Bluebell, in the gift shop. There's a gift shop and there's a huge long aisle where you can watch your candy being made. There are windows, and it is set up for tourists. Susie's South 40 started when Hitchcock Hall partnered with the owner of a pecan grove just south of Midland on 40 acres and created the recipes for the candies. That resulted in building a 1,500-square-foot factory. I had a friend who had a pecan grove south of Midland, and he wanted to do something with pecans, and I wanted to cook, Hitchcock Hall said. So the fact that I like to cook is how the candy business came about. We've just been building on it since then. We have 24 different candies that we manufacture. From there, everything slowly took off with Hitchcock Hall's Texas pecan toffee becoming popular. Other recipes would follow, including the Texas Trash, which is a custom blend of cereals and pretzels that are mixed with pecans, drenched in a creamy white chocolate flavored coating. The frozen pecan toffee was the first one, Hitchcock Hall said. That's been the biggest. Then after that came the Texas Trash, but the toffee's the favorite. We make tons and tons of both products every year. People have continued to come to Susie's South 40 over the years, and Hitchcock Hall says the history of the place is one thing that keeps customers interested. They like it because they want to hear the story of how I got started, because other people want to start their own business, so they're curious about that, Hitchcock Hall said. People always go to the kitchen to watch someone cook when you're having dinner. They go to the kitchen to see what's going on, so we have the windows so everyone can watch what's happening with the candy. As for how the spring break kickoff came about, Hitchcock Hall said they wanted to let everyone know that they're still open. We knew that we wanted to do something because we get so many requests wanting to know if we're open. They've called to know if we're open and if we were still doing tours. I knew spring break was coming up, and I knew we had put the Bluebell ice cream in, and I thought we could just make this a week-long event. There are a few minor differences between next week's tours and other weeks. We've had tours and all, but not like this, Hitchcock Hall said. This one's different because everybody's been home for so long. We decided to do an all-out event this year for spring break. Susie's South 40 has also been careful during the pandemic, even after Texas Governor Greg Abbott's decision to lift the statewide mask mandate that will go into effect March 10th. If people are coming in a group, they'll have space, Hitchcock Hall said. Of course, with the governor's announcement, each business is on its own, but we're still careful. Anyone who wants to wear a mask, that's not a problem, but we won't make it mandatory after Wednesday. After 30 years of running her business, Hitchcock Hall says one of the things she loves the most is being able to create jobs. That's a fun thing, she said. When you have a business, then you create jobs and ideas and you develop them. You share them with other people. We ship to all 50 states and 35 countries. We are representatives of West Texas. As for next year, Hitchcock Hall is hopeful that they'll do another spring break kickoff. I haven't gotten that far, but I'm sure I expect this one to work out great, so we'll be planning for next year to also have something, she said. Major Road Projects on Tap in Basin by Ruth Campbell. Hundreds of millions of dollars in road projects are on tap for Ector and Midland counties in the coming years, some of which have been languishing for years. Future projects are funded, but they haven't started because the money is allocated way before they break ground. It's a huge process for road construction, Ector County Judge and Chair of the Metropolitan Planning Organization, Debbie Hayes, said. Major highway projects recently approved by the Metropolitan Planning Organization Board and in varying stages of completion include County Road 1140 at East Loop 250, County Road 1150 and County Road 60 at East Loop 250, US 385 at North Loop 338, East Loop 338 at Yukon Road. These projects cost approximately $80.25 million. Both Odessa and Midland Development Corporations have contributed funding for project construction on corridors determined to be critical by the MPO Policy Board, including I-20, Loop 338, and Loop 250, information from the MPO said. The MPO and Texas Department of Transportation manage transportation planning and project funding on a 10-year rolling period. Early planning includes design, environmental clearance, and right-of-way clearing prior to construction, the information said. A project must be included in a 4-year document, Transportation Improvement Program, which indicates that funding is available and the project is expected to proceed to construction. Future projects that are already funded but not started in the period 2021 to 24 include ramp reconfigurations at Loop 250 and State Highway 158, 25.25 $26 million in 2021. State Highway 191 at Yukon Road, $18.56 million in 2022. Signal at West Loop 338 at Yukon, $2.48 million in 2023. Interchange at US 385 at South Loop 338, $23 million in 2024. Widening of main lanes on I-20 from County Road 1250 to State Highway 349, $75.8 million in 2024. Highway projects anticipated beyond 2025 include new lanes on I-20 and Frontage Road conversion, ramps and U-turns along a 31-mile interstate corridor, new bridge on I-20 at Cotton Flat using federal grant funds through FHW, new interchange at 52nd and 56th Streets, conversion to freeway of a portion of Northeast Loop 338, new interchange at Todd Road at Loop 250. Roads require long-term planning, especially with the basin's boom and bust cycle. It's also necessary for safety. You want to be able to design and build infrastructure to reduce crashes and lessen crash severity, Hayes said. You don't want fatalities in it. You want to maintain the infrastructure that you currently have so that it stays up to standard. You want to optimize the movement of traffic. You want to reduce congestion, improve travel time for the people who are on those streets, and you want to ensure that all of that freight can move efficiently to its destination that it's going to. State Representative Brooks Landgraf, Republican Odessa, Vice Chair of the House Transportation Committee, said wholesale improvements need to be made to the transportation infrastructure throughout the Permian Basin. If we're looking at in terms of volume, the Interstate 20 project in Ector and Midland counties is obviously of great importance. That's the primary corridor for the Permian Basin, and widening the interstate through that stretch, three lanes in each direction, reconfiguring frontage roads and overpasses, it's going to really improve the connectivity and safety of the interstate, Landgraf said. But there are so many other important projects, and each type of highway, in some ways, serves a different purpose. It's really hard to say that one is more important than the other. Several population projections show explosive growth for the Permian Basin and statewide by 2050. If Odessa is going to continue to grow, if we want to make our roads safer for everyone, then we have to get used to this idea of planning decades in advance, Landgraf said. I've worked really diligently through my role on the House Transportation Committee and worked with the Texas Transportation Commission and TxDOT in recent years to really improve the funding that we're getting for highways in the Permian Basin, he said. We've been very successful with that $2.5 billion in the most recent allocation that was approved a few months ago, and that's great. But why I was working so hard and others were working so hard to get that recent surge of transportation funding is because we had to make up for a lack of funding historically, because the funding formulas and politics have historically favored major metropolitan areas of the state. That's really worked to our disadvantage. So we have quite a bit of momentum now. So we just have to make sure that we keep planning well into the future and stick to that plan, he added. As that funding comes in, Landgraf said, officials have to make sure that it goes into the Permian Basin infrastructure as quickly and effectively as possible. On the Loop 338 thoroughfare, Landgraf said work is being done right now with the overpass at Loop 338 and Highway 385. That's a component in making Loop 338 more of a four-lane divided highway that's safe. So much of Odessa's population growth is in that northeastern quadrant of the loop, That's where you have so many new houses and new schools being built. There are new commercial opportunities there that in order to accommodate that growth, we have to have that transportation infrastructure out there. So modernizing Loop 338 is a big part of that, Landgraf said. Farm to Market Road 1788 and 191 is another big component. There's a lot of commercial development on 1788 north of 191. That's become part of a reliever route that connects the Permian Basin with the Lubbock and the Llano Estacado area. On State Highway 302, work is being done right on an overpass at State Highway 302 and Highway 115 in Winkler County, just west of Kermit, Landgraf said. It is part of a larger project to make 302 currently a four-lane highway, adding lanes in each direction. He noted that this will eliminate some very dangerous intersections that have deadly collision points, like 302 and Highway 115, for example. Asked how he got funding for these projects, Landgraf said it was essentially persistence, going to many meetings, and using his access as vice chair of the House Transportation Committee. But we also had a chorus of voices from the Permian Basin who very relentlessly talked about how important the Permian Basin is. We had a lot of support from Governor Greg Abbott and from some of his appointees on the Texas Transportation Commission, notably Commission Chairman Bruce Bug. He calls it the Permian Promise, Landgraf said. You have to have proper infrastructure in the Permian Basin in order for the Permian Basin to reach its full promise and produce benefits for the entire state of Texas. And so TxDOT and Texas Transportation Commission have bought in. We've made the case very consistently in the legislature and again to the commission. Then, quite honestly, the data speaks for itself. We've been behind the eight ball when it comes to investing in our infrastructure in the Permian Basin, again, because although we serve a critical role for the state, we haven't had the population, and that's put us at a disadvantage compared to big city freeway projects in metropolitan areas, Landgraf said. We had a lot of people making the case, whether it's the Odessa Chamber of Commerce, MOTRAN, the Permian Strategic Partnership, and Secretary Don Evans have also been very important in that process. They were at so many of the Transportation Commission meetings over the last couple of years, and I think that support has really paid some dividends, Landgraf added. COVID-19 news. By the numbers, Ector County, 16,393 total cases, 338 deaths. Midland County, 16,624 total cases, 247 deaths. Texas, 2,688,975 total cases, 45,047 deaths. U.S. cases, 28,714,163 total confirmed and 521,294 deaths. Click on covidinthebasin.com or tinyurl.com/TZTRJLF. Vaccines. Medical Center Hospital is administering COVID-19 first dose Pfizer vaccines from 9 a.m. to 8:30 p.m. Monday through Friday and from 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Saturday and Sunday at MCH Urgent Care locations on JBS Parkway and on University. Vaccines are for Phase 1A frontline workers and residents at long-term care facilities and Phase 1B, most at risk and ages 65 and older. No appointment is necessary and walk-ins are welcome. Vaccines are free of charge while supplies last. Visit mchodessa.com/coronavirus. Odessa Regional Medical Center on 6th Street is administering COVID-19 vaccines, free of charge while supplies last, To check on availability or to make an appointment, call 432-582-8549 or www.odessaregionalmedicalcenter.org/. Check with Walgreens, HEB pharmacies, CVS stores, and Walmart and Sam's Club pharmacies for updates on availability. Rotarians Layden Hensley and Mark Flowers were presented with their updated Paul Harris Fellowship pins at the Odessa Rotary Club's March 3rd meeting at the Pecos Depot in the barn door. Hensley and Flowers received their Paul Harris Fellow recognitions, level 6 for Hensley and level 8 for Flowers, for their continued support of the International Rotary Foundation's Annual Programs Fund, Humanitarian Grants Program, and Polio Plus. Rotary International is a worldwide service organization whose theme is Service Above Self. Local news roundup. Volunteers needed. The Crisis Center of West Texas is offering a free training for community members interested in serving on the crisis response team. Trainings will be held on Saturdays, March 20th, March 27th, April 10th, and April 17th in the UTPB Mesa Building Game Room. Volunteers are essential to the Crisis Center of West Texas, CRT, and provide essential response services to survivors of domestic and sexual violence immediately after an assault occurs. Volunteers are required by the Texas Attorney General to complete a training course and 10 hours of shadowing. This course will cover the dynamics of sexual and domestic violence, trauma-informed care, and other tools that will help you support survivors. Members of the CRT volunteer for overnight and weekend shifts based on your availability on a rotating basis. To volunteer, complete application online at tinyurl.com/3DBFRA8S. For more information, email Elizabeth Teixeira at elizabeth@ccwtx.org. Auditions. Midland Odessa Symphony and Chorale has scheduled auditions for orchestra positions, principal flute, and principal viola. To apply, for instructions or more information, visit www.mosc.org/musicians/orchestra/auditions.html. Funding proposals. The United Way of Odessa is requesting proposals for 2021-22 Community Impact Funding. Funding is open to nonprofit 501c3s serving in the United Way of Odessa service area who provide services in the areas of health, education, and self-sufficiency. To be considered for funding, funding proposals must be received by April 1st. To request an application or to request further information, contact Christina Escobar at cescobar@unitedwayodessa.org. United Way of Odessa financially supports 22 local agencies and 33 service programs. To learn more about the United Way of Odessa, call 432-332-0941. Temporary Inflation by Dennis Elam, Associate Professor at Texas A&M San Antonio and a 1966 graduate of Andrews High School. He blogs at www.themarketperspective.com. Quote from the Associated Press. Fed Chair Jerome Powell announced that any inflation is temporary. No need for the Fed to alter its low interest rate policy. The Dow Industrials dropped 600 plus points, and the 10-year Treasury yield surged over 1.5% in response. Crude oil prices surged over $2. Ralph Nelson Elliott created his Elliott Wave Theory in the 1930s. It is a model of social behavior with a three steps one way and two the other structure. The psychology of market moves plays out in this fashion. Whatever the market, stock or crude oil prices, or in this case, interest rates, the move begins from, in this case, a 40-year low. Wave one is a surprise, and the majority reject the notion that a trend change is underway. Wave two pulls back from the new high. This allows the doubters to say, "I told you so." Then wave three eliminates all doubt by charging to a new high. Wave four usually alternates between wave two. If two were strong, four will likely be sideways. The final move is a wave five to a new high. Chairman Powell is denying we are in a wave one of higher interest rates. This morning, crude oil has risen another $1.84, and the 10-year yield is 1.58%. Mortgage rates have pushed over 3%. Fundamentally, this is no surprise. The Democrats are on a spending spree that would make Lyndon Johnson blush. Little noticed is a Congressional Budget Office estimate. The CBO estimates the national debt will be 200% of GDP by 2050. I don't put a lot of stock in 30-year predictions, but that prediction surely springs from the fact that for the first time since the end of World War II, total debt is 102% of GDP right now. The CBO estimate does not include the $1.9 trillion bill likely to pass the Senate next week, and Team Biden plans to plow $9 billion into minority communities. This is an echo of Lyndon's Model Cities program. Model Cities spent lots of money hiring bureaucrats, but never turned any city into a model. The XLE Energy ETF is up $1.45. Goldman Sachs sees Brent crude at $75 this year. Looks like that will occur sooner than most think. But don't expect the price rises to be temporary. The Economist. What Went Wrong? By M. Ray Perryman, head of the Perryman Group and distinguished professor at the International Institute for Advanced Studies. What went wrong with the Texas power grid during the recent extreme weather event? Everything, but it's complicated. One key issue is that Texas homes, buildings, and power infrastructures are geared toward dealing with the issue that we most often face, heat. Whether for an individual, homeowner, or a society, the decision regarding how much to spend on protecting from cold involves an assessment of the costs, benefits, and likelihood of extreme weather. As the recent historic freeze blanketed Texas, about 40% of generation capacity went offline as demand surged. Wind turbines froze and stopped working. Natural gas-fired generation initially increased, as did coal, but weather ultimately caused issues with these facilities as well. Some gas wells and pipelines were affected, and generators, which often purchase gas through interruptible contracts, were competing for supply with the natural gas directly used to warm about 35% of Texas homes. Given the vast resources in the state, a natural gas shortage is particularly difficult to stomach. Moreover, turbines, conventional power plants, gas wells, and pipelines routinely function under frigid conditions elsewhere, but winterization practices in Texas were clearly insufficient. Another issue is that much of Texas is an island when it comes to its power grid, not connected to other parts of the country. The Electric Reliability Council of Texas, ERCOT, is tasked with ensuring peak demand can be met, yet the grid was apparently minutes away from catastrophic failure. The state certainly has the energy resources to meet its needs many times over, but choosing to go it alone brings a responsibility to set up and assure a secure power system. Placing all blame on wind energy ignores the benefits in the form of both zero emissions and lower electricity prices for Texans during much of the year. Hydrocarbon-fueled generation plants are also not the culprit, and they will remain essential to ensuring adequate capacity until at least the point when the power supply storage limitations are fully resolved. When the wind isn't blowing and the sun isn't shining, renewables are not producing power, and conventionally fueled generation must be sufficient to meet demands. Texas' relatively more competitive power market has fostered lower prices than would otherwise have been in place, and more choices for Texas consumers. We have studied this issue several times. However, the recent problems have clearly illustrated some shortcomings with the structure that must be addressed. When the historic freeze led to an all-time peak winter power demand, the grid was not up to the task, and millions of Texans suffered. Pointing fingers isn't helpful, but better oversight and thoughtful tweaks to the current market platform can help to prevent another cataclysmic failure. More on that later. Stay safe. Obituaries for Sunday, March 7th. Travis Alton Hatcher. Travis Alton Hatcher passed away February 25th. The youngest of two children, he was born July 7th, 1975, in Odessa, to Alton Curtis Hatcher and Susan Marie Scowden Hatcher. He married Lacey Hatcher in 2006. Travis is survived by his wife, Lacey, six sons, Forrest Randall and wife, Krista, Perrin Hatcher, Eric Menzel, Ashton Wilson, Caden Wilson, and Brighton Peanut Hatcher. Two grandchildren, his parents, Alton and Susan Hatcher, a sister, Delina Sellard, his mother and father-in-law, Robert and Joy Logue, brother and sister-in-law, Justin and Christy Ferris, brother and sister-in-law, Robert and Lucille Payne, as well as several aunts, uncles, great-nephews, and many cousins. He is preceded in death by his grandparents, Leon Eugene and Eleanor Scowden, Curtis and Elsie Hatcher, several uncles, and one grandson. Visitation was held Monday, March 8th, at American Heritage Funeral Home in Midland. A celebration of life will be held March 9th at 10 a.m. at American Heritage Funeral Home with Johnny Touchstone officiating. Carl Raymond Denton. Carl Raymond Denton passed away February 20th at Medical Center Hospital. He was born July 3rd, 1959 in Midland to Vida Holiday Denton and Carl J. Denton. He was raised in Odessa. Carl was preceded in death by his brother Jim and his parents, Vida and Carl. Memorial services will be held at Sherwood Church of Christ in Odessa, Saturday, March 13th at 10 a.m. Arrangements are entrusted to Acres West Funeral Chapel, and condolences may be sent to the family online at acreswestfuneral.com. Death notices. Rosemary Cruz Chacon. Rosemary Cruz Chacon, 54, of Odessa, died Friday, February 26th. Mass will be celebrated at 10 a.m. Thursday at March 11th at St. Anthony's Catholic Church. Burial will follow at Ector County Cemetery, Rose Hill Section. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Rhonda Henderson. Rhonda Henderson, 52, of Odessa, died Thursday, March 4th. Services will be scheduled at a later date. Arrangements are by Schaefer Funeral Home, San Angelo. Nalida Florencia Trudy Hostetter. Nalida Florencia Trudy Hostetter, 93, of Odessa, died Wednesday, February 24th. A graveside service is scheduled for 9 a.m. Tuesday, March 9th at the Odessa Garden section of Ector County Cemetery. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Daniel Pickett. Daniel Pickett, 48, of Monahans, died Monday, March 1st. Services will be scheduled at a later date. Arrangements are by American Heritage Funeral Home of Midland. Sulima Rodriguez Valencia. Sulima Rodriguez Valencia, 59, of Odessa, died Monday, March 1st in Lubbock. Mass was celebrated Monday, March 8th at Holy Redeemer Catholic Church. Interment followed at Sunset Memorial Garden Cemetery. A rosary preceded the funeral service at 7 p.m. Sunday evening, with Father Fernando Bonilla officiating. Arrangements by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Start with trust. BBB Serving the Heart of Texas tip, Preparing for Disaster, by Heather Massey, Regional Director of the Better Business Bureau in the Permian Basin. In February 2021, an unprecedented winter storm swept through Texas, resulting in federal action declaring the state a disaster zone. Residents experienced extended power and water outages. Homeowners faced water damage from burst pipes, and some found their food supply running low. Because severe winter weather is rare in Texas, few were ready to handle the storm. Now, Texans are wondering how to stay prepared for the future. READY is a federal campaign partnered with the Department of Homeland Security, DHS, and the Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA, aimed at educating Americans on responding to emergencies, including natural disasters. The campaign suggests creating a family emergency plan, building a supply kit, and taking action to help your community stay prepared. Plan ahead using these tips from READY and your Better Business Bureau. Create a plan. Take time to create a disaster plan with your family and ask important questions to assess your preparedness. How will you receive emergency alerts? Where will you shelter? Do you have an evacuation route planned? Is your disaster kit stocked? Build a kit. Having plenty of supplies can help you better navigate an emergency situation. A disaster kit should include a 3-day supply of drinking water, 1 gallon per family member per day, non-perishable food, flashlights and batteries, medications, and any important documents. Keep these items in a sealed container that can protect them from water or fire. Stay safe. In the extreme cold, Texans searched for ways to stay warm without power. Unfortunately, many suffered carbon monoxide poisoning after running their cars in a closed garage. Remember, if you decide to use your car for heat, do so in an open area. You should also take time to learn the signs of hypothermia and its basic treatments, such as warming the center of your body first. Do your research. If you are anticipating severe weather, gather information to save valuable time during or after the disaster. You will want to locate your home's main water shutoff valve in case you need to cut off water after a pipe bursts. Reach out to your insurance agent to review what your policy covers if your home is damaged during the storm. And visit BBB.org to create a list of trustworthy plumbers, contractors, and tree services near you. Knowing who to call ahead of time can help the recovery process run smoothly. For more information on disaster preparedness, visit ready.gov. You can find trustworthy professionals at BBB.org. Odessa Police Department welcomes 11 new recruits by Royal McGregor. Though she had been anticipating the graduation ceremony for the 21st session of the Odessa Police Academy, 28-year-old Annette Rios said she finally relaxed after her father pinned her badge. There were 11 newly minted officers welcomed to the Odessa Police Department. Rios said it was special, the 11 recruits that started the 21st session all graduated together. The graduation ceremony took place Friday afternoon at the Odessa Marriott Hotel and Convention Center. There were family, friends, and members of the police department in attendance. "We were all very proud," Rios said. "We've become a family. We made a promise to each other that we all go in and we all come out. We were definitely proud we held to that." Of the 11 newly minted officers, 6 were born and raised in Odessa, while 2 graduated from Robert E. Lee High School in Midland. The other 3 graduates were from Del Rio, Miami, and Baghdad, Iraq. Odessa Police Department Chief Michael Gerke told the Odessa American after the graduation ceremony that he hopes those officers not only begin their respective careers at OPD, but end their careers 25 to 30 years later at OPD. "The people from Odessa and the people from this region wanting to stay in West Texas and serve the community that their family lives in means a lot," Gerke said. "That shows a commitment on their part." One of the graduates born and raised in Odessa is 24-year-old Elizardo Vasquez. Vasquez graduated from New Tech Odessa in 2015. Prior to becoming an officer at OPD, Vasquez was a jailer at the Ector County Law Enforcement Center and then was an armed security officer. Vasquez says he knew he wanted to become a licensed peace officer in Texas before he began his law enforcement career as a jailer. "I grew up here in Odessa, and I really wanted to do my part for the community," Vasquez said. "I really looked up to law enforcement, so that was something that I wanted to do since I was a kid." The new 11 officers have to participate in field training that takes about 4 months to complete. Rios said she's excited about going on patrol, but she knows it's going to be different than learning in the classroom. "Instructors really drilled us that it's going to be different," she said. "We are going to be dealing with a huge variety of people. We are going to have to roll with the punches." Odessa Police Academy 21st Session graduates. Lenya Alonso, 39, Miami. Jody Bear, 34, Odessa. Tyler Bullard, 22, Odessa. Jocelyn Chapa, 28, Del Rio. Saman Marawani, 30, Baghdad, Iraq. Dalton McSweeney, 23, Midland. Michael Miller Jr., 21, Odessa. Annette Rios, 28, Midland. Felipe Rodarte, 31, Odessa. Bailey Thurman, 21, Odessa. Elizardo Vasquez, 24, Odessa. Program helps students learn business skills by Ruth Campbell. With a view toward updating its entrepreneurship program, University of Texas Permian Basin is offering all students a chance to test their business acumen. Recently, the Blackstone Charitable Foundation announced the expansion of its signature Blackstone Launchpad Student Entrepreneurship Programming from 2 to 8 campuses in the University of Texas system, bringing the initiative's network and resources to a more diverse set of students. The $5 million expansion will give even more students access to resources, opportunities, and mentorship at UT El Paso, UT Permian Basin, UT Rio Grande Valley, UT San Antonio, UT Medical Branch, and UT Southwestern. UT Austin and UT Dallas have been launchpad sites since 2016. With 4 of the 6 campuses included in this expansion designated Hispanic Serving Institutions, HSIs, Launchpad doubles the number of HSIs in its network, demonstrating a commitment to increasing inclusion in student entrepreneurship, a news release said. Ryan Peckham, Assistant Professor of Management and Roden Fellow for Entrepreneurship, said there are 26 students in the program. "We have so many initiatives going on," Peckham said. "That includes the Blackstone deal, which you heard about, which is a new initiative for us. Also, we're looking at redoing some of the entrepreneurship minor and also offering an entrepreneurship certificate." Peckham said UTPB wanted to be able to give students who aren't necessarily business majors a chance to take advantage of all of the entrepreneurship offerings. "The Blackstone initiative allows us to do that because that is open to everybody on campus, not just business majors," Peckham said. He noted that Blackstone is providing funding, a network, and resources that UTPB otherwise would not have access to without their support. "Without it, we just wouldn't have access to the network of other business owners that they have, mentors that they have, funding that they have. We do a lot of virtual programming that students have been able to attend. It's just trying to get students interested in owning their own, maybe operating their own business, because unfortunately this generation of students is less likely to open their own business than students in the past," Peckham said. He was an adjunct professor teaching management and some finance courses. "Personally, I like it because entrepreneurship is the only business major that uses all the other majors together. So you have to use accounting, you have to use marketing, you have to use management, and you have to use finance. If you're going to be a business owner, you've got to have a little bit of knowledge on all of them. I enjoy it because I get to use all the other disciplines, and for me, that makes it fun and keeps it challenging," Peckham said. He added that even if students don't wind up owning their own business, they will make better employees because they understand how businesses work and that there are other aspects to business. Peckham grew up in Coahoma. He earned a bachelor's degree in engineering from Texas A&M University, took an MBA at the University of Texas at Dallas, and taught night classes at Midland College while working for Security Bank as its vice president of business development. "At the same time, I was starting my own business, which is an investment practice, managing money for families. I did a doctorate with a concentration in behavioral finance from University of Liverpool in England, and I did that online from Midland. When I finished that, I went and taught 1 year at TCU in Fort Worth. I taught financial management, and then I taught a semester at Syracuse University in New York. That was online. I was adjunct for UT Permian Basin, and then I took the full-time position at UTPB. Peckham said he teaches because he loves it. "I'm not looking for anything else but that. I started doing night teaching, and I just enjoyed it more than I ever thought I would," he added. Peckham noted that a lot of West Texans go back to school to improve their lives. "Peckham is married and has 2 daughters. I love to help people improve themselves. I'm kind of constantly working on that myself, so I enjoy that aspect of it and just really enjoy being able to help people. And for me, This is an area where I feel like I can help people out. I've always been a numbers person. I enjoy business. If I was trying to help out in some other capacity, I probably wouldn't be as effective. To me, it's important to give back to the community that I feel like gave me so much, Peckham said. One of Peckham's students, Sarai Lara, plans to graduate with a degree in business management with a concentration in entrepreneurship in the fall of 2022. I honestly thought this was a great opportunity, Lara said. I feel like a lot of students are discouraged to start their own business because we have seen multiple crises in 2019 and the pandemic, so it is discouraging. But with this program, it really empowers us to pursue what we want to do. We were partnered up with mentors. My mentor was from New York, and she gave me the advice and encouragement to do this, Lara said. It was a great networking opportunity as well, because I got to meet other students from different universities throughout the country. It's really powerful to be around people who are like-minded. When she was interviewed a couple of weeks ago, Lara hadn't launched her business yet. The reason I did the program was for the funding to start my business. Here in the Permian Basin, human trafficking is very common. We all have the awareness, the resources to help these women. So I would want to bring awareness and end the cycle of human trafficking through handcrafted jewelry. I would partner with Reflection Ministries, which helps survivors in the Permian Basin. It would essentially be a stepping stone for them. So while they're in the program, I would provide jewelry classes, and they will have the opportunity to make some jewelry in it and essentially work part-time at my company, Lara said. She said the objective would be to restore dignity, self-confidence, and gain work experience, among other things. She added that it would also help them learn how to operate their own business.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.